This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Amen. Amen. Okay, turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to continue on the Word of the Lord series, the Word of God for 2018. We have four parts. Today is going to be the third one. Just sidetrack a little bit. I think it's good for especially parents and whoever who leads the youth or young adult ministry. Yeah, we should talk about this man, you know, tell story about Billy Graham, you know, because I don't know, you know, now the younger generation, I don't know whether we know Billy Graham. Maybe we know the J-pop, the K-pop, the whatever pop, you know, but we may not know this man, you know. And people my generation will know in the 1978 he came Singapore, I think, did a event crusade called I Found It. Yeah, so. Yeah, I heard so much story, you know. Almost everyone that I know got saved is because of through that crusade. Yeah, it's just incredible. Okay, I can imagine when he stand, you know, in my time, there's this song called Thank You, Jesus. Thank you for giving to the... Then the queue will line up to queue. Wow, Billy Graham must be pretty long. Oh, yeah, so... Okay, turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to continue on the Word of the Lord series for 2018, which is to me is so huge because this is not just a cliche or whatever. We want to begin every year, really want to hear the Lord correctly, because to me one of the most important words is really to hear. You know, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Not so much that I can preach a sermon or do a Word of God series. To me, it's more important to know what God is saying so that I can align myself in accordance to his heart, more than just 2018, but all the days of my life. Okay, so this is the third part of the four-part series. Today, we primarily talk about walking in the highway of holiness because it's so vital. Higher calling, higher calling, higher requirement. Higher promise, higher responsibilities. You know, the higher God is inviting you into, that is the higher requirement that he has. There's so many people say, why Moses was disqualified and so on? Because his calling is high. There's a higher calling, that means a higher requirement. It is so vital. Okay, if I have time, I'll end with sharing with you a dream. No, I kind of like tell myself, man, I'm in serious trouble. Nowadays, God primarily speak to me in dreams. You know, Joel chapter 2 says, young man see vision, old man dream dreams. You know, I had three last night. So I'm in serious trouble. God, can you show me some vision to make me feel younger? Okay, no, man, that's not important. Okay, so we are on the third part of the four-part series. And the Word of God for us is so clear, you know, in 2018. Primarily it's from Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. He's doing a new thing. When I say he's doing a new thing, it's not talking about that. He has never done it before, but doing a new thing in our heart, in our spirit, so that we can align with him in God, according to his heart and his spirit. Because God is always doing new things. You know, I say, God is consistent, but he's unpredictable. He's consistent in his character, but he's unpredictable in the sense that he does not do things same old, same old. Not because he wants to trick us or want to make life difficult for us. He wants us to lean on him. We are the other way around, or let's say like me. I'm predictable, but I'm highly inconsistent. No, inconsistent in my character and so on, but predictable in all things that I do, so that we can predict, you know, so on. No, God is the other way around, and that makes us confident in a sense, yet make us always keeping ourselves on the toe because we don't know what God is doing next. And that's where we always learn to lean on him, but we can have confidence and trust because he's consistent in his character. He's always good. He can do us no harm. And because of that, I can trust him. Even though I'm not too sure exactly what is ahead. That's why the word of the Lord is very clear. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. He's doing a new thing and he's really inviting us to partner with him. God always wants us to partner with him. That means we need to align ourselves with his heart, with His will, with His plan. Most importantly, with His way. To walk with God, to partner with the Lord has to be His way. In accordance to His way. You know, that's why a lot of time we talk about Torah. You know, is Torah the law or whatever? No, Torah is more than the law. Torah means His way. The way. Why does God give us the Torah? Is it because it's a law? You know, like you cannot park here, you cannot park there. Double yellow line, single white line. You know, some of us just pass our highway code. No, Torah is more than just the do's and don'ts. Torah primarily means the way. God give us some of these things so that we know how to walk with God according to His way. Because you can't walk with a holy God if you are not walking in the holy pathway. It's not because God is uptight, because He's a holy God. Anything that comes before His presence is unholy will be consumed. That's why it's so important as God is preparing us for the new thing. There's a huge requirement for us to walk in the highway of holiness. Yeah, which is what we're going to talk about today, primarily from Isaiah 35. But I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1, because one of the clearest exhortations in the New Testament, the requirement to walk in holiness so that we can walk out the fullness of God's promise for us. If you read carefully, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1, I wonder why they cut at verse 18, because you should read together. Paul lists out six metaphors which warn us. These are some things can disqualify us. That's why he say, do not yoke, do not fellowship, do not communion, so on and so on. And then he lists out four promises. And he ends with chapter 7, verse 1 by saying that, therefore, since we have such great promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. In a sense, things that can defile or contaminate or disqualify us. Filthiness of our flesh and our spirit, but perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. The context and the light of it is so that we can receive the great promises of God. Because there are things in our life that can disqualify us from walking out in the fullness of God. No, it's not talking about losing salvation, but it's talking about that can disqualify us from participating with the Lord. Especially the higher the calling, the higher the mandate, the higher the requirement that we need to prepare ourselves in the corners. That's why this is so huge. You know, I'm going to share one of the very vital prophecy by this prophet called Bob Jones about that. That 35 young men carrying the very Ark of the Covenant. You know, but of course, that's just prophetic symbol. Okay, the first sessions we actually talks about Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, as well as the importance of hearing, which is Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Primarily, God is inviting His people, especially young generation, to partner with Him because He's going to do an unprecedented move. We don't know when, but sooner than we think. He's raising up a generation that's going to surpass every generation in their walk with God and in their work with God. Huge, you know. Every time I read about this, I'm excited. You know, if it's not my generation, I'm excited for the young generation. So I'm looking forward to some. You know, we are planning for a house of prayer gathering because we want to pass the baton and the mantle to the next generation to lead. You know, so we are sorting out some of these things because God is raising up a generation that will be unprecedented, unsurpassed in their walk with God. And in their work with the Lord. That's why we always quote about this and we pray about this, where it's a famous prophecy where God said, I will pour out my spirit with no measure. There's a condition. I will pour out my spirit with no measure upon my people that has no mixture. Yes, because it cannot, that there's no such thing as partial holiness. It has to be perfect holiness. We are coming to the point of time where God is going to do the unprecedented works. That means it requires an unprecedented lifestyle. It's always that way, okay? That's why it's so important. Of course, I talk about Luke chapter 8, verse 18 at our first sessions, where it primarily talk about take heed how we hear, It's important to know. There are many words of the Lord going around right now. One of it, if we pick it up, is that God is really restoring the fear of God back to the church of Jesus Christ. He is. I'll end by talking about that because this is one of the great end time prophecy which comes from Jeremiah 32. God is going to restore the fear of God and he called it good. And there's only one thing in the entire Bible, God said, I will do it with all my heart. That's Jeremiah 32, where he promised he's going to put the fear of God back into the church of Jesus Christ, which is huge, That's why Luke 8 verse 18 is so important. It talks about Jesus warned about how we hear. Take heed how we hear. That means after hearing, we have to respond. Because many have said yes, but many have not responded yet. There's a difference between saying yes. There's a difference between desire and that intentionally walk it out. Remember I shared with you in December 2009 in the vision that the Lord spoke very clearly, just two statements. I mean, it's like a thunder, that trumpet, Tell them that they are not ready. Tell them that they are not ready, which is okay. We can prepare ourselves. And the next statement is, tell them that there is a requirement to be intentional in preparation. So many have said yes, but not many have done it. That's always my greatest fear. I was talking with the staff over lunch yesterday. It's been 14 years since we do the house of prayer. The next 14 years, I wonder, I'll be interested. I wish God can fast forward me. There's only one thing I don't look forward when God fast forward 14 years, is my age. Okay. Fast forward, I'll be close to 70, That's one thing that I don't look for. Maybe I should change my mindset like Billy Graham. Primarily, I change my address, Yeah, then I change my body. I change many things, whatever. Okay. The next 14 years, how will we be? You'll be interesting. Is our heart be more, our hearts more vibrant? Are we more prepared? It's a lie from Satan that we can be the same and constant in our walk with God. There's no such thing as constant in our walk with God. You either become more on fire. Today is February 23rd, right? You either are more on fire on February 23rd, 2018 compared to February 23rd, 2017, or you're more lukewarm. February 23rd, 2018 compared with February 23rd, 2017. There's no such thing as constant. You either grow in love or your love diminishes. Our faith is never in constant. You either go forward or you go backward, call backslide. There's no such thing as constant. That's why it's so vital for us to pay attention. And last week, we talked about the word of the Lord primarily from Zechariah chapter 3 and 4, which is about grace. Because after hearing, God is going to raise up a generation that surpasses all generations. That means greater than Billy Graham, greater than John Wesley, greater than John G. Lake, greater than Rahab Bonke, greater than Bill Johnson, greater than Lou Engel, so on and so on. Ultimately, the question, I don't know whether how you feel to me, is that, man, I feel so inadequate. I feel so unworthy. I feel so impossible. That's why it's so important, because at the end of the day, it's because of grace. Grace of God. Zechariah 3 and 4 is so vital because God used Joshua as an example, as well as Zerubbabel as an example. Because Joshua, full of weakness, he was struggling. If you remember Zechariah 3, his garment was filled with defilement, and his head attire, which is the turban, was soiled and dirty. He disqualified himself, and Satan came and accused him and opposed him. The problem, primarily the issue, is his guilty as charged. Same as you and me. I'm guilty as charged. I feel weak. is it even possible? No, I don't know whether young now many people more gung-ho say, I can. Oh, God bless you. Yeah, the questions that pops into my mind is that, can I even do it? Am I able to? Because of grace. Grace. Because of the grace of God, I can. Because of grace, Joshua, even full of weakness, God picked him up like a branch that plucked from the fire. There's only one kind of branch that God is going to pluck and use. Everyone that is weak. There's no strong one. Because of grace. How about we are lack? You know, can't sing, can't dance. Actually, can't dance still okay. Okay. Can't do anything and so on. Because of grace. Zechariah 4. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And then Zechariah 4 again. Say grace, grace to the great mountain. Wow, you know, not just mountain. Great mountain. And it will become a plain. Because of grace. And because of grace, God is using weak and broken people to raise up the sons of oil. Unbelievable, you know. I was saying this, you know, which is the truth. You know, a lot of time we talk about our limitation. Fortunately, in the body of Christ, our limitation is our strength. Amen. So where did that come from? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Wow. My limitation is my strength. That's the key thing. Amen. So today, and not next week, the week after, I'm going to talk about two things. The requirement of God to walk out the fullness of God, which is firstly, holiness. Holiness. Second, preparation. Because at the end of the day, God is not just looking for us to do something. At the end of the day, God is looking for people who are real, deep, and authentic. He's not just looking for more gifted, more program, more strategy, even though all these are important, but he's looking for people to be real, deep, and authentic. That's why one of the key things is very important that we keep using the term is stay in the river. Stay in the river, which is a statement of preparing ourselves, you know. So there's two requirements that's very clear. One is that we need to perfect holiness. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit. Say, isn't that legalism? No, that's not legalism. Because if you understand grace, it's never about God do the 100%, we do nothing. Or we do the 100%, God do nothing. It's always about we have to respond and then God respond. Because in the Bible, consistently, there is this principle called the if and then principle. Have you heard of it? If you respond in accordance to the requirement of God, then God will respond. Their classic example, 2 Corinthians 7:14 talks about if my people call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. See, even a lot of time we use that verse when we do major stadium prayer meeting, we thought that God forgive the sin of the land. No, God forgive the sin of the church first. Because if the church is walking in sin, God will not release his promise. Our role is vital. That's why there's an if and then principle. Of course, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 5. If you do these five things, then you will find the knowledge of God and discover the fear of the Lord. It's called divine partnership and cooperation. This is not about earning it. There's always that respond. We respond and God will respond. It's never about God do the 100%, we do nothing. And we do the 100%, God do nothing. You know, that's why this statement says Jesus has done it all. Not true for everything. Jesus cannot read the Bible for you. When you read the Bible, he can grant you understanding. Jesus cannot pray for you. We still need to respond, no matter how weak is the response. Even if the 1% is still very important. All I can offer to the Lord is 1%. Most of what we can respond to the Lord and our offering unto the Lord in terms of a response, probably less than 1%. But that 1% still are very vital. In itself, have you thought about it? That 1%, our weak and broken 1%, is still accepted by God. That itself is grace. Grace. That God needs that 1%, which is weak and broken, is grace. Amen? That's why much of God's promise is conditional. That's why we need to understand. Write this down. This is very important. When I come probably later half of the year, I want to teach about grace because we need to have correct understanding of grace. I want to talk about revelation of grace, the reigning in grace, cooperation with grace, and the last one is walking by grace. That's what Romans taught about. Grace doesn't mean that you become effortless. Grace doesn't mean that we do not have to do anything. Grace means that we have to respond even with a weakness, and God will top up the rest. Because if it's everything that's 100% on us, it will always lead to this thing called legalism. But everything is 100% on God, you know what it leads to? Licentiousness. You know what licentiousness basically means? Living in compromise with no fear of God. That's what Jude talks about. That's what Titus talks about. Because they have accepted so-called this false grace thing. God will do it all. I sin. God will cleanse me completely and so on without even the requirement for repentance. It will always lead to licentiousness. But there's always that requirement for us to prepare ourselves or to respond. So take me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But I want to begin by sharing a Bob Jones prophecy, okay, which is in the context of Isaiah 35, which is about walking in the highway of holiness. Okay, this prophecy was revealed to Bob Jones. Some of y'all know who is Bob Jones. So I'm going to take time to introduce who he is, because we've been talking about it over the last few Fridays in January. Okay, he received a vision. I think it's in July 1984, okay. This vision primarily is about God raising up young generation that will move in unusual and unprecedented power. But there's a requirement. Requirement is Isaiah 35, which I'm going to run through briefly, probably just briefly today, but we're going to come back to it as I talk about how do we perfect holiness in greater detail. The point is there's a requirement. The requirement is to walk in the highway of holiness. Pay attention, young people. If this is about you, pay attention. Because invitation is given to all. But many will be disqualified due to their casualness in their life. And as a result, they do not walk in holiness. Pay attention. Invitation is given to all, but many can be disqualified. Turn me to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. See, a lot of time we assume that it's automatic, but many people found themselves disqualified because they are casual in their walk with God. Paul talks many often in the New Testament about there are sins that disqualify us. No, it's not just one-off, you know, because of a weakness, you compromise. Talking about consistently, you are camping your life in that sin. After years where God showed mercy and grace, you can be disqualified. Again, it's not talking about losing your salvation. That's another issue. But there are things that can disqualify. That's why Paul gives a very strong word in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. In the light of their great promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every filthiness that will contaminate our flesh and our spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. So if there are teaching that tell us, it's okay, grace has covered it all. If you read Paul's teaching, Romans, all the way, even to the book of Jude, often the apostles through the epistles warn us about casualness towards sin. I know, hyper grace teach about don't talk about sin because it creates sin consciousness. Then we have to rip up much of the pieces. Paul talks a lot about abstaining, avoiding, flee, so on and so on. Because that's one of the ways. Because that's the part that God will do. But there's the part that we need to respond. That's why if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves, not let God cleanse us. Let us cleanse ourselves. That means we have to respond. We have to find out what do we need to do. I'll show you a few because it's such an important topic, you know, and it's so wide. I'll just show you a few. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine ourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified? No, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the believers in the church in Corinth. It's so important, you know, that we have to pay attention because there are things that can disqualify us, you know. If God, I said earlier, if God is pouring out unprecedented power and his spirit with no measure, then it has to be an unprecedented generation in their walk, in their life, in their heart, in their character. Totally no mixture. How can the spirit pour out with no measure unto a vessel that has much contaminations? We've seen it all pass throughout church history. That's why God is raising up a generation that's totally different, that they will not sow themselves out to money, to fame, to immorality, so on and so on. There will be a generation that's so different in their life, in their walk, in their character. I think Billy Graham is a huge statement, you know, a man that walked in integrity. Nowadays, you know, integrity is a huge issue, even among ministers. You know, it's so important, the requirement of the holiness. Just show you a few in the Bible before we jump back even into this prophecy. Take me to Exodus 33, verse 1 and 8. Because it's both Old Testament as well as New Testament. The higher the promise, the higher the requirement. The higher the calling, the higher the responsibilities. So there's that requirement, holiness. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. More and more, we don't talk much about holiness because holiness seems like a negative connotation. If people call you a holy man, basically means you're boring. It's true. It is true. I grew up in a church, you know, when I was a pastor, they call me holy man. Basically, it's to mock me. Yeah, it's a holy man. He's boring, you know. He doesn't do anything, you know. I tell you, if it requires me to be holy and to be boring, I'll be boring. Amen? Why do I want to be cool? I want to be hot. I don't want to be cool. I want to be hot. If I need to be boring to be holy, I'll be boring. That's why I always tell people, say, Kei Chong, you're very boring. You don't have a lot of pastime and so on. All you do is to love God. Man, you know, all I do is love God. I love God with all my heart. That's good enough. I don't need Wi-Fi. I don't need WeChat. I don't need WhatsApp and so on. I don't need friends. Yeah, but still love me. Okay. It's true. Why do I need to be cool? The world calls us to be cool. I want to be hot. Not the kind of hot, so don't go to the extreme. Exodus 33. There is that requirement. That's why I talk about this because it's so important, young people, pay attention to this. Take this seriously. Because God is going to raise up a generation that will walk in the power of God that's unprecedented and he's going to pour his spirit with no measure, he needs a vessel that has no mixture. He requires that. Pay attention. Exodus 33. Because a holy God cannot walk with an unholy generation. We have, you know, Leviticus 10. Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, they got struck down by God's fire because they offer unto the Lord the strange fire. You know, they hold the privileged role, because during those times only a few person can enter into the Holy of Holies. You know, but there's a huge requirement. So if you study tabernacle, you know, 1 year the high priest walk into the tabernacle. Sometimes you don't know whether you are happy or you are trembling. You know, because they will cast lot. Okay, fall on Joanna. You know, if you fall on Joanna, I from the outside, shucks, I'm so envy. But for she's so excited yet. Maybe that's the last time I'll talk to you. So we'll send a few WhatsApp first. Because they can be struck. That's why when they walk in, they tie their left ankle with a rope. And their ephod, at the end of ephod, there's a pomegranate, a bell. So they will walk in, you know, it's a very powerful illustration, so I have no time to talk about it. There'll be sound. Dung, dung. The moment no more sound, you know he's dead. So they have to drag him out, you know. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know. That is the requirement. If you read Leviticus, I will end by that. You read Leviticus 10. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they got struck dead. And God make a huge statement. You are required to be holy. Okay, I call this the Old Testament version of X5. What happened in X5? You say, oh, that's Old Testament. And Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. Simply because they tell a lie. You know, if that happened right now, many would have died. Drive to the church parking, you know, cheat 5 minutes, die. Drive to whatever, do whatever, die. You know, because you must understand, it's that kind of power that require the high expectation of holiness. I know there are people who preach at X5 and the Ananias and Sapphira, they are non-believers. Come on, read carefully. Yeah, if you say, oh, it's not going to happen, you know, but that's New Testament. God is going to raise up the same kind of glory and power, but without the holiness. That's why God is holding back right now. He cannot come in the fullness of His glory and His power, because He is going to consume us if He come right now. Now all we are feeling is that little presence of God. I say, wow, my hair stand. Oh, that's no big deal. You're talking about God walk in our midst. It can strike us. Now, turn to me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33 is a powerful illustration, because God told Moses, I'm not going with you. I can't go with you because I'm a holy God. You're stiff neck. If I go with you, I will kill you. So Moses actually pleaded with God. And he said a very huge statement in Exodus 33. He said that, how can people know that we are? We want to be separate. That is the word. Holy. Holy. Exodus 33. Let's read. I'm then going to read verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go out from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angels before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and all the whatever, Jebusite. Listen to verse 3. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people, because it's a holy God. He's a holy God. One of the reasons why the church lacks power right now is God's holding back, you know. We want power, things that our ministry will be even more powerful and so on. I think that's true, but it will backfire on us too. If we are not walking in holiness, that's X5. That's why you read X5, after Ananias and Sapphira died, the great fear of the Lord increased in the church. More than that, the city fear the church, because they see the holy God move His hand. Yeah, let's go to Exodus 33. Listen to verse 33 and verse 16. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be, the word is separate, right? You know what separate means in Hebrew? Holy. We shall be holy. I'll explain to you what does that mean, okay? Your people and I from the people who are upon the face of the earth. Okay, that's the key. Many, show you a few more before I move on. Psalms 15. Psalms 15. Verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Means in your presence. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. Basically, talk about our heart, our motivation, our action, as well as our speech. Who can stand in the presence of the Lord? You have to be holy. Holy. Again, holy is not legalism. Holy is not stifling. Holy is not boredom. Holiness is the pathway to God. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, without holiness, no one will see God. So if holiness is boring, I choose to be boring because I want to see God. How boring can you be if you see God? You got so much story to tell. That is the key thing. That's the requirement. Okay, come back to Bob Jones' prophecy, okay, or rather his vision. That's July 1985. I'm going to be as precise as possible, okay, which is about God raising up a generation of young people that will move in unusual and unprecedented power. Okay, so in the vision, okay, I'm going to read a little bit because I want to be as accurate as it is. In the vision, Bob Jones actually saw a group of young people, okay, primarily a group of young people carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the processions, okay, down a certain road. Okay, of course, he saw 35 young people carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, that 35 young people are not, 35 is not an absolute number. I'll explain to you what that 35 means. Okay, so he saw that vision. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and sitting on the top of the Ark of the Covenant is Jesus. Primarily, it's a symbol of they are lifting up Jesus. And they are walking down the road in processions, okay? While they are walking, this is like 2 Samuel chapter 6, okay? David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, okay? But while they are marching down the processions, healing, miracle, signs and wonders broke out in the processions. It's like people shouted, look there! There's someone whose arm, creative miracles, arm being grow. Look there! There's a dead being raised, so on and so on. Okay, so they are marching down. Okay, 35 carrying the Ark of the Covenant with Jesus sitting on top. Again, it's not an absolute number, but symbolic. Okay, I give you the prophetic interpretation, which is so vital. Firstly, is this. Okay, those that, or rather, these that carry the Ark of the Covenant. It's talking about those that will lift Jesus up. The young generations that the Lord is going to raise up at the end of the age. They are those that will lift Jesus up all the days of their life. They will walk and they'll be faithful. They'll bring honor unto the Lord. Their primary focus is to lift Jesus up. Because today, you know, it's a very strong word that God spoke. Because today, as a result of power, okay, many sold themselves out to money, fame, scandal, immorality. Because most revival ends bad. So God is going to raise up the next generation that they'll be faithful. They'll be loyal to Jesus until the end. Until the very end. Okay, that's the first one. Second. We have 35 carrying the ark, okay? The 35 is not an absolute number. If not, then you all better apply. No, yeah, better apply fast. No, the 35 basically talks about that requirement, okay? The requirement in partnering with the Lord, with the unprecedented power. You know what's the requirement? Holiness. Holiness. Why 35? Primarily points to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Tell me the Isaiah 35. Just give you a brief outline about Isaiah 35. Then we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians 6. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 talks about, of course, the fullness of Isaiah 35 is in Millennium Kingdom. Really, it's talking about Millennium Kingdom. But Isaiah 35 talks about that God is going to pour out His glory and His power and His presence with no measure. But there's requirement. Huge requirement. Okay, I'll give you the brief outline. Then I'm going to move on and come back, not now, probably another time, because we're going to talk more about holiness down the road. Okay, verse 1 to 2 basically talk about the promise. God promised there's going to be unprecedented glory and power that's going to pour forth. Verse 1 to 2 is about promise. Verse 3 and 4 talks about the requirement to prepare. Respond. That's why verse 3 and 4 talks about strengthen the weak hands. Strengthen the weak hands. Hands talking about action. Next is make firm. That means stabilize the fever knees. You know, you must be able to stand. You know, talking about conviction, talking about value. Okay. Make firm the fever knees. Verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted. How do you? Fearful hearted means you lack confidence and so on. Say how? Be strong. Do not fear. The way is to behold your God. He will come with vengeance. That means behold the Lord. Encounter the Lord. And confidence will arise. Then verse 5 to verse 7 talks about, if you prepare, this is the result. The result. Which talk about there will be increase of revelation, understanding, authority, prophetic, vibrancy in our spirit, hearts revive, and fruitfulness. In that 3 verses. Then verse 8 to 10 talks about the invitation of the Lord. It's interesting. The Lord didn't say, what is the requirement to be invited? But the Lord makes very clear that He said, what would disqualify you from the invitation? The lack of holiness. The lack of holiness. There is the requirement to walk in the highway of holiness. That is the prophecy of Bob Jones. That's why it's so important. That's why I want to take today talks about the requirement. To walk in holiness. Because you need holiness to walk in the fullness of God. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. I hope I have time to tell you the dream. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1. Probably one of the clearest passages of scripture that exhort the importance of holiness in the light of walking out the fullness of God's promise. Okay, it's huge. And Paul is exhorting the Corinthians believer primarily not to disqualify themselves. He used a very strong word. Filthiness primarily means contaminations and defilement. And he ends with a very strong exhortation by talking about walk in holiness. Perfect yourself in holiness. Okay, I say earlier, okay, there are 6 metaphors where Paul used. 6 metaphors that Paul used that warn even believers concerning the things that can contaminate us. That's why he used terms like do not yoke, do not commune, and so on and so on. Okay, so there are 6 metaphors, 4 promises. 4 promises. Of course, a promise is a general promise. You can apply into the promise of God for your life or in our generation. There are 6 metaphors, 4 promises, and 2 required response. 2 required response. Primarily, after telling them what can disqualify you, there are 6 metaphors. Then he tell them about the 4 promises that God gave and say that how do you walk out the 4 promises? How do you receive the fullness in the 4 promises? These are the 2 required response, which is vital. Okay, which is vital. Primarily talks about holiness because Paul's exhortation is clear. Because basically he's trying to say that a holy God cannot walk or cannot partner with unholy people. He cannot. God cannot dwell in our midst unless we are in full agreement with Him. In terms of lifestyle, in terms of value, in terms of morality, in terms of desire. Let's read verse 16. Verse 16. The key word is agreement. Agreement. The key is to live in agreement and alignment with God. Paul said this in verse 16. Okay. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. One of the key concerning holiness is about agreement. Agreement. Let me explain a little bit about what is holiness before I go on to the whole passage of scripture. Okay, it's talked a lot about, I think 300 times in the entire Bible, holiness. In Old Testament, in Hebrew, it's called Kodesh. Kodesh. New Testament in Greek is called, I got to pronounce, I'm not a Greek student, so I try my best, Hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S. Okay, Hebrew is called Kodesh, Q-O-D. H-E-S-T. Greek is Hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S. What does that mean? Primarily means that God is transcendent. God is different. He's totally other than. That's what happened to the angels, the 24 elders, so on and so on. Because they were worshipping the Lord. They saw the Lord seated on the throne and said, who is this man? He's totally different. We've never seen someone, something, or whatever. It's unbelievable. People say, in heaven, you'll be boring. You have no time to be boring. You have a lot of time to bow down. Because when you see God in His whole, in His fullness, you only have two responses. That's why if you look at all the worship before the very throne of God in heaven, there are about six passages in the Bible. Primarily, they only sing two songs. They have no time to write songs. Holy. Worthy. You know why? They saw God. They said, "What? Who is this? He's so different. We've never seen anything like this before." You know, I always like to use the Beijing Olympic opening ceremony as an example. You know, they say it's the most grand opening ceremony, the greatest fireworks ever. You know, when you see the Lord, He far surpasses. That is pale. After you see the fullness of His glory, you look at Beijing Olympic, that one look like a candle. Maybe candle is kind of like exaggerating already. You will respond, holy. Or you respond, worthy. And you bow down. So that's why I was telling the Lord, please strengthen my knee. You know, I can't really kneel now. You know? So every time I travel minister, some places when you pray for them, they are kneel. And I say, I cannot. Can you all please stand? So some thought I do humble. I thought I'm not humble enough to kneel. I said, no, I just can't kneel. You know, if you want a word from me, please stand up. So I said, Lord, please have mercy on me, you know, so that I can kneel. You know, yeah, but then I have a new body. So when holy primarily means that transcendent, he's different, he's totally other than, okay? You need to know that, okay? Because it's so important, because then it comes back to us. Because God is holy, totally other than, different, transcendent, how can we be like Him? Because a few times in the Bible, whether it's Leviticus 11 or 1 Peter 1 and 2, where Peter quote Leviticus 11, God said, be holy because I'm holy. Can it even be possible? Okay, so that's why you need to understand why it's holy. Okay, and holy is not one of the attributes of God. That's a great mistake. But every attribute of God is holy. Got it? Holy is not an attribute. It's not just one of the attributes of God. Every attribute of God is holy. That means His love is holy. His grace is holy. His power is holy. And so on and so on. You know, basically means there is no comparison. When you compare human's love with God's love, it's an insult. Because it's totally other than. It's not in the same league. We can compare. Must ask Annabelle, does dog love? I presume. Okay, let's presume God loves. I'm not God. Dog loves. Okay. You still can compare human love with God's. No. Dog's love. But you cannot compare human love and God's love. Because it's totally holy. Impossible. There is none like Him. Absolute no comparison. And God requires us to be holy. That's why there's two aspects to the holiness of God. Okay, vital. You know, that's why we got holy wrong. Holy is not boring.